Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our current events update, and then our study in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 12, titled, A Vision Appeared to Paul in the Night. The conclusion of this two-part message can be found at BBFOhio.com. As we now begin, this is part one of two.
The current events update. And we are making a habit of discussing Israel at war, at least to give you some idea of anything going on. This is as of today, April 21st, 2024, which is day 198. 133 hostages remain, according to the official statistic, and no deal in sight. But Israel did retaliate against Iran in what we could call a very strategic, measured manner. They have satellite images that show that they struck an Iranian base, and the Iran International English X feed said that analysis of satellite imagery obtained by Iran International confirms media reports that a central part of the S-300 air defense system at an Iranian airbase in Isfahan was hit by a presumed Israeli attack, because Israel doesn't officially acknowledge that they've done it. So that's why it says alleged. Now, you're wondering what's going on. I mean, Iran sent 300 and some drones and missiles, and including a certain number of intercontinental ballistics and things. 90% of them were better, like 99%, I think, is what the number they put on, were shot down. That means some did get through. There was some damage, but nobody killed, as far as I ever saw. But that's still, you can't just let people attack you like that. And so Israel did retaliate, and it seemed weak. But there was this very clear message sent that you're probably not getting on most of the news media, because they don't do their jobs. But this is the best explanation of what's happened that I've found so far.
So now people start to ask, what is going on? I've spent the last 12 hours or so or longer trying to figure out exactly what transpired. And what we can say is this, that the Israelis deployed a new weapon, something that has not been seen in the Middle East up until now. It is likely something that is described as a glide bomb, but with a much longer distance. I think most glide bombs are believed to only have a 40-mile trajectory. This went apparently much further, fired somewhere either in Syria or Iraq, completely off the radar of the Iranians. And really what was hit in Iran was really the most important component of this. They took out radar, apparently, on an airbase that is in charge of defending against some of Iran's most sensitive nuclear facilities. And so the Israelis, essentially, the message was, we are able to hit you, you are not able to defend against us, and look at what we can hit if we wish to do so. I think the big takeaway here was that the Israelis bared their teeth at the Iranians, showed them that, you know, they were basically bring knives to a gunfight, that the Israelis have technology and abilities that the Iranians didn't know and that they don't want to mess with. And I think that was the message delivered, the deterrence established, and now we wait and see whether the Iranians have the will to try to do this again. So the Israelis, I think, at this point, have to be asking themselves, okay, if we can prevent attacks from taking place, prevent the damage, and we've got the pinpoint accuracy to be able to take out top generals, and we've got the pinpoint accuracy to take out, you know, air defenses, radar, Russian-made equipment, by the way, which I'm sure the Russians can't be too pleased about. But then the question becomes, what's the Israeli strategy? Is the strategy to just keep playing defense and fending off these attacks, or is Israel going to go on the offense? Which I think at this point, it's glaringly apparent that the Israelis need some kind of strategy that really forces the Iranians to halt this and to begin to call back their proxies, because this is unsustainable.
I think that's the best explanation. I couldn't have done better myself, for sure, explaining. I didn't know that about the glide bomb or whatever they are calling it. And they, you know, you just kind of wonder why they don't just go ahead and take Iran's nuke facilities and everything, just take them out. And what they say, act first and seek forgiveness afterwards, I think is, you know, once it's done, what are they going to do? Meanwhile, the Antichrist spirit of hate towards Israel, toward the Jews in general, really, although there's some Jews actually are self-hating, and they hate the nation of Israel as well. But this was at the Ohio State University this week. Hey, hey, ho, ho, the Zionists have got to go. I'm one of them, by the way. I've got to go. There's a bunch of stupid, ignorant kids who won't listen to anything anybody tries to tell them. And they don't care, most of them. I've seen the videos. People have tried to talk to them. They have bricks for brains and refuse to even hear Proverbs 18:13 in the flesh right there. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. And these people, if you ask them questions, they don't know anything about the history of that conflict. They don't know anything about Hamas. They don't know anything about the Palestinians who put Hamas in power and that 80% plus right now support what they did on October 7th and what they're doing now. That's the reality. But I'm warning you, if you choose to violate Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You violate that, you go out there and watch and listen to all these stupid people on your network news and YouTube and Rumble and all these, you know, and yes, on Rumble, there's a lot of stupid people there. Anywhere on the internet, if you just go out and watch and listen to Facebook, they're out there as well. I'm not on there, but I see some of the stuff on it. If you don't follow Scripture and you're not guarded at what you feed your mind with, you will find yourself being twisted. We've seen it over and over. There are people whose butts ought to be in pews right now, right here, who aren't because they violated Psalm 1, got their head filled with garbage. Amen. And Ohio State University, I haven't seen where they've said anything in response to this. We'll see. In the meantime, we stand with Israel. Amen? Amen. Number two, another $61 billion goes to Ukraine. But nothing for the southern border. Nothing to protect this country. The money actually goes to protect Ukrainians' border and not our own. This is how Breitbart, their headline said, "Betrayal complete. Mike Johnson passes $61 billion Ukraine aid, violates Hastert rule again." The Hastert rule is something that Newt Gingrich and John Boehner and others were expected to follow, and Johnson is as well, is that you don't bring some legislation forward unless the majority of the people in your own party agree with it. Johnson only got that passed because all the Democrats voted for it. He only had a handful or small number of Republicans that voted for it, and he had Democrats that put it over the line. And when it passed, chance of Ukraine, while waving the Ukraine flag on the U.S. Congress floor as it passed. See the flags? That's not your country's flag. You hear it in the background? Ukraine. So those who stand against this fleecing of America, and that's all it is. The congressmen that go down there, evidently they all get caught with prostitutes or something, and they have pictures or something to get them, or they bribe them. They go down there like Mike Johnson claiming he's not going to do what he's now doing. What's the explanation? And they're just fleecing America to give the money to the military industrial complex is what it's called. And why? Because a lot of them own stock in those companies. So $61 billion goes over to Ukraine, they get $1 million or so. That's how Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell have become wealthy serving in the Senate. They don't make anywhere near enough money to become as wealthy as they are. That's how they become, and insider trading and that sort of thing. But those who stand against it are vilified. This was the New York Post, owned by the Fox News Rupert Murdoch company. She stood up against it, so she gets to be on the headline with Nyet Moscow Marjorie is what they call her. They call them GOP rebels. And they worked to defeat the bill in the House, and it ended up being passed. It's just sickening. But while they fleece you, they also put you terrorists, are under surveillance. The Senate authorized the warrantless spy program, which first went through the Republican-controlled Congress under Republican Mike Johnson, to surveil you like you're under the mark of the beast or something. And, of course, all the Marxist Democrats loved it. The United States Senate passed the reauthorization of FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Foreign intelligence. It's surveying you. It's supposed to be. That's how they sell it. They put the title on the cover, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance. And it was a 60-34 vote, 2/3. The bill was set to expire on Friday and would have ended Section 702. That's where you're at. Data collection practices by the intelligence agencies. The bill passed the House earlier in the week, as I said, without any provision that required officials to get a warrant. It's in total violation of the Constitution. You are now under a Marxist regime, and they don't care about the Constitution. And they don't have to get a warrant to collect information on American citizens. An amendment by Representative Andy Biggs, Republican of Arizona, was voted down by his own colleagues, Republicans and Democrats, 273 to 147 last Friday. Section 702 has been used to detect threats to the U.S. by gathering intel on the communications of foreign individuals. Yes, that's happened. In objection to the passage of the reauthorization, Representative Anna Paulina Luna, a Republican of Florida, noted that it has improperly been used over 278,000 times by the federal government to survey Americans. This is the infrastructure of the beast system. This is going to be used, adapted, and included as part of the beast system. That's how they're going to know who's got the mark. They're going to control who can buy, sell, or trade. How many of you saw the guy set himself on fire this week? He was loony. But he wasn't totally wrong. I mean, he was wrong to set himself on fire. But his manifesto wasn't totally wrong. What he's saying is going to happen. Both parties, the Uniparty, are going to confiscate your wealth, your retirement, your property. And it will go all under the United Nations beast system. The only question is whether it happens before or after the rapture. That's the only question. Endless wars, surveillance society, open borders, both major parties. And right now, that's the reality. You got the jackass controlling the elephant who's really a rhino in disguise. And there's another one who's out there showing him two-headed monster uniparty, Democrat and Republican. There are exceptions in the Republican Party. Used to be able to say there are exceptions in both parties. I'm not aware of any exceptions in the Democrat Party. If you know of any, let me know. But as far as I know, there's no exceptions. The entire Democrat Party is gone to the Antichrist, along with their baby killing and all the other things they do. And the leadership of the Republican Party and most of those in power under the Republican Party are a part of it as well. And number three, quick reminder of reality. And this is just kind of unrelated, but yet not totally unrelated. How many of you feel like you're living in the Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Same thing's happening with the church. This week is Good Monday and Resurrection Friday.
Amen.
Those of you who don't mind play acting and going along with the fake thing that the rest of the church does, that was back in March. And that was, you know, hey, boiled eggs, chocolate, licorice, you know. Yeah, you can get something out of it. But the reality is that Jesus was crucified on Nisan 14, and that begins tonight, sundown, and goes through Monday night. Jesus was buried at sundown, right before sundown, Nisan 14. So Good Friday was fiction this year. This year, it's Good Monday. And that's when Jesus, if you want to, you know, have your, and by the way, that's on our website if you want to download it. Then you count from Monday, sundown, after 3 days and nights, that's Tuesday sundown, Wednesday sundown, Thursday sundown. Sometime after Thursday sundown, Jesus rose from the dead, and that's on a Friday, because I believe he would have risen from the dead when the sun was coming up, because that's what that's been picturing to humankind from the time of creation. And every morning you get up, you're reminded that Jesus, the sun, rose again. Amen? And so, this year, the resurrection day is on Friday, April 26th. So if you want to have, there's some people really get into that stuff, you know. Just real quick, one last thing, and you'll be my first one. Be informed, pray accordingly. He is risen. One more time, He is risen. Amen. All right, well, we're in, let me get back there. Acts 16, verse 6, where we're going to pick up. So we're going to start. We're going to go through verse 12. And we titled it from the text. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. So we're continuing. We started Acts 16 last week. This is Paul's second missionary journey. And he's in the area known as Galatia. And that's where a vision appeared to Paul, as we'll see. So beginning verse 6, I'll have you read the even verses with me. Beginning verse 6 through 12, read. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Amen?
Amen?
So Paul leaves Asia Minor in Galatia, and God points him toward Europe. That's the bottom line of what we're going to see in this text. We're going to see the forbidden territory, as I call it, in verses 6 through 8, the night vision in verse 9, and then the Macedonian mission is brought up and begins there in verses 10 through 12. So Paul, Silas, and who?
Timothy.
And he evidently has had enough time to heal from his circumcision as an adult, which took anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks, according to who you ask. And so they're going to leave Galatia. Their intentions are, their bags are packed, and they're going to go south. If you look on the map, you see where we're at is in big print, Lyconia, Iconium, Lystra, all that area. They were going to head south and into, you see, Lycia, Myra, down there in Pamphylia, and etc. This is the area he wanted to head from. If you see up above the circle is Galatia. That's where they are now. And so that's his intent. He wants to go down there. But we'll see this is forbidden. Before they could turn south, this happens in verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and look at that, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Isn't that an amazing thing? What would cause the Holy Spirit to forbid them from even preaching the word? All I can tell you is I've come across these situations myself. There have been places where I intended on attempting to preach the word, and God one way or another shut it down. And before I even knew or recognized this in the text, I'd read through the Bible a number of times, but early on in my ministry that happened to me. And I was shocked. And it didn't even dawn on me that God could have been the one with a hand in it. That's why you got to be careful you follow these charismatic prayers, you know. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke, I bind, I cast. I wasn't quite praying like that, but I was praying thinking that I was going against the devil. And it turned out, especially with hindsight, I could see God's hand in that. Wasn't the devil after all. So, you don't find people praying like that in the Bible, by the way. You find that on the charismatic TV shows. But the Bible says that we enter boldly into the presence of God and pray, but we don't enter arrogantly. And we pray, Thy will be done. That's one of the... you're going to pray like Jesus? And that's how you're going to pray. But here it shows Paul and Timothy and Silas coming up against a wall here. The Holy Spirit is forbidding them. Some assume that maybe it was a message that Paul received where the Lord said, nope, not going there. But whatever it was, you don't see them casting and binding and all that kind of thing to get there. They let it go. They trusted the Lord. And some suppose that others were there doing the work. And the Lord simply wanted Paul to go elsewhere. But the text doesn't say that. And forbidden, that word forbidden, is an awfully strong word for this context. If he just, you know, be, oh, there's guys up there already doing the work. We don't need you to go up there. I need you down here. Or up here. He was going to go down. I need you over here. That word forbidden is a lot stronger than just redirecting because somebody's already doing the work. But we'll see Paul return to that area in three chapters. So it could just be a matter of timing. We don't know what was going on up there. But you remember, one of the reasons God said He was waiting to bring the children of Israel into their land was because the wickedness of the Amorites was not yet full. And so God had delayed bringing His children into the land, the promised land. Why? There was something that had to be done there first, and then once He moved them, He moved them when He brought the children of Israel in, and they removed them from the land. But God does things the right way, in the right time. And so you and I have to be very trusting of the Lord, and that's very difficult sometimes. There are people who are in... numerous times through the years I've heard of women who wanted to have babies. And there are sometimes women who can't have babies. They wanted to have babies and they couldn't. Then there's some who wanted to have babies, but they just, for a while, couldn't get pregnant. I know, I tell you, I could name names right now, numerous people, I wouldn't do that, but there's numerous people who came to me in tears and asking for prayer because they were trying to get pregnant for several years and couldn't get pregnant. That was years ago. Now if you go visit them, they've got like six kids. Why did God kind of delay it? You know, we figure it was God's will. Why did he delay it? I don't know, but they ended up having their kids. Now, some people didn't have kids, and other things kind of revealed why God might have done that in that situation. I won't get into the details of it. But how many of you understand that one of the greatest gifts you have as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, is a thing called hindsight? Hindsight's 20/20. I think Randy Travis has a song about that. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy say, well, okay, we can't go south, let's go north. That's up in this area up there, Bithynia, up above Galatia. That's where they said they'll go. Well, before they could head north, this happened. Verses 7 and 8. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. Twice now, we've seen right here in our text that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to shut you down.